Blog Talk Radio.
Why must we feel our futures so uncertain? Why must we feel our presence is a burden? Living day to day off crumbs from the table. This dependency must end. I know that we are able to build a life.
is a world broadcast of Imam Wallace Dean Muhammad Speaks, the program that's dedicated to human dignity and justice. And now, Imam Wallace Dean Muhammad.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين. Our honorable radio audience today, with the greetings of all the prophets from Abraham to Muhammad, the greetings of peace and the Quran in Arabic language. Assalamu alaikum. All praise is due to Allah, the guardian evolver, the keeper, the sustainer of all the worlds. We ask for his guidance. We ask for his mercy and his forgiveness. We ask that he bless us to be a community of Muslims upholding the banner of al-Islam as it was upheld by the companions of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Nasta'inuhu, nasta'afiruhu, wa nu'minu bi, wa nasta'wakka alayhi. La ilaha illa hu, al-hayyu al-hayyum. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. سبحانه وتعالى عما يشركون أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. All praise is due to Allah, the guardian evolver, the cherisher, the sustainer of all worlds. We beg guidance from him, beg him for forgiveness of our faults. We trust in him with all trust, all of our trust. Highly praised is he, glorified is he, perfect, without defect. High is he above all the things that they associate with him. And I bear witness that nothing worship except Allah alone. There is no partner or associate with him. And I bear witness that Muhammad is his servant and his messenger. Dear beloved Muslims, I have tried to give you in English what I just said in Arabic. And it is the responsibility of any teacher or preacher when he speaks to an audience to not to say anything in a language that is not understood by the people. Whatever we say in a language that is not understood by the people, we must say that in the language of the people, so we don't talk over the heads of the people or by the people. We ought to talk to the people. Dear beloved brothers and sisters, in this khutbah today, I will be making a special effort to set the pattern for all khutbah. I'm leaving the example of this khutbah. This khutbah is an example for Imam Hamidullah, who hasn't been in Chicago to hear or to observe the khutbahs that I have been given, and to be able to separate special khutbahs for specific problems from the general khutbah that should be set the pattern for us. In the first part of the khutbah, it is standard that we acknowledge first the omnipotence, omnipresence of Almighty. Almighty God, whose proper name is Allah. Omnipotence means that he has power over everything. There is nothing that can frustrate him or cause any problems for Allah. He has power to achieve everything. And he is omniscient, having knowledge of everything. Nothing is outside of his knowledge. He is aware, having knowledge of everything. Allah is omnipotent, all-powerful, almighty, having power to achieve whatever he will. Nothing is beyond his power. And he is omniscient, aware of everything. Nothing escapes him. Nothing escapes him. No matter how small or how secret, nothing at all ever escapes him. We have to call attention to the perfect and infinite being and powers of Allah to bring the conscience of the people to be grateful and to be respectful and to be reverent, to fear Allah with the fear that is due him. Should we fear Allah? Yes, with the fear that is due him. Because fear is human nature. And if you don't give your fear to Allah, then those things that you give your fear to are going to dominate you and become your false god. No human being can escape fear. It is his nature. So that fear should be given to the Creator, who is Allah, so that false gods don't dominate you. All praise is due to Allah for blessing us with guidance and understanding. And in the first part of the khutbah, we have to acknowledge that we have no knowledge except what Allah has given us. He has created us, has designed our being, has given us our nature and our intelligence, and has designed our courses for us. All the knowledge that we get is from Allah. We either get it directly, as the Prophet got it, or we get it indirectly, as the common people get it. We get it indirectly from our own observation and study, attentiveness of mind and intellect. We get knowledge from the creation of God. If we try to get knowledge from any source other than that God provides, we don't get knowledge. We get misguidance. Allah has created the universe, the world of reality. That world that Allah has created will also feed the intellect and give human beings knowledge. That kind of observation alone is not enough for human beings. Human being is blessed then by God with further understanding that comes only with divine revelation. And that kind of knowledge that comes directly to the individual or to the creature from God is not a knowledge that any ordinary person can get. That knowledge only comes to the pure at heart. And Prophet Muhammad was the pure at heart. And God said of Prophet Muhammad that he revealed the Quran on his heart. Ala qalbihi, on his heart. Meaning that it was his goodness or the soundness and the purity of his heart that earned him the blessing of revelation. The heart is also so symbolic of the conscience, the moral conscience. He revealed it to him because of the soundness and purity of his moral conscience. It is not every good person that Allah revealed the revelation to. It is just those that he chooses. So the prophet is not only one of the blessed people, but he is one of the chosen people. Allah chose him. And Allah does not choose a messenger, a prophet, in any haphazard fashion. He does not choose him sentimentally. He chooses him because there is need to establish justice and guidance. And this individual is the one that has earned the blessing, so he gives that guidance to that individual, and that individual becomes the light of guidance in his society for the others. And this was a great blessing that Prophet Muhammad received, the blessings of universal guidance. This Quran, the book that is universal guidance, it is not a book for the Arab. It addresses the universe. It addresses all people, all nations, the whole world, all the world. It is not a book for the Arab. It is a book for all the world, all the races, and all time. It can be proven that this book contains the supreme wisdom, and other books are inferior to this book. This can be proven in 5 minutes. That this book contains the supreme wisdom, and other books are inferior to it. All other books. So Muslims with understanding look for no book behind this book. This is the book, the last of the books. Only those who have been misguided, who have been tricked by the traitors of Judaism, the traitors of Prophet Moses, those who have been tricked by those traitors, they think that there's coming something behind this. This is the book, the final book, the last book, the supreme book, the perfect book, the guarded book. Allah got this book. No one can destroy or change this book. It has been tried. English translators, as early as the 11th or 12th century, I think, began to try to corrupt this book. Jewish devils, even earlier than that, tried to change the book. In the late history of the West, a writer by the name of Sale tried to change the book, and others of his friends tried to change the book. But the book is still here. The book is shaking the world. Because this is Allah's book that he brought back and perfected and completed for all people. Through his servant, the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. Dear beloved brothers and sisters, Allah is the Allah for all the world. We don't have a cult God. Muslims don't have a cult God. Our Allah is the Allah for all the world. Our Allah is the one that created the heavens and the earth, created flesh and intellect, created everything, matter, energy, and everything. That is our Allah. Allah is Allah for the Christians, Allah for the Jews, Allah for everybody. That is our Allah. And those who attempt to present Allah in any way other than the Quran has presented him are not rightly representing Allah. Those who say he is a trinity of three, they have falsely represented Allah. Or by ignorance. In ignorance, they are falsely representing Allah, or they are knowingly falsely representing Allah. And those who say that Allah is a man, they are ignorant. They are the victims of the traitors of Moses. So let's not follow that ignorance anymore, that Allah has blessed the world community, the so-called nation of Islam, lost foundation of Islam, with a leader that understands and cannot be contended with, cannot be challenged. Now that Allah has blessed you with a leader like this, don't even think back or look back into that foolishness. that ignorance that give us Trinitarian concept of God and give us pantheistic concept of God, materialistic concept of God, give us a heathen Arabia concept of God. Don't you know the heathen Arabia, the ignorant Arabia, Jahiliyyah they call it? Don't you know they also said God is a man? They say God is a man. But Muhammad, you were talking about this unknown God, this God, this Allah. We know no God but ourselves. There was a party of them who believed that God was man, flesh and blood man, like we were believing, until the understanding came to us. Yes. And they believed, too, that he had some existence outside of the limits of this earth, like we did. Weren't we told that this God, mysterious God, came out of the sky? That he had his existence in the sky before the earth was made? And that he evolved himself out of the sky into the matter, into earth? If you study the ignorance of pre-Islamic Arabia, you'll find that they also believed there was a god called Waz, and that god was in a man form in the sky, in the space up there. And that was the god that they worshipped, a party of the ignorant Arabs. So the same ignorance that we have had was taken from the past. Let us praise Allah as Allah should be praised. We praise Allah with the language of the Quran, as it is plainly given here, not with our stupid interpretation. Dear beloved Muslims, if we don't have our heart right, we will not find guidance. No guidance came to anybody whose heart was corrupt. As long as you are selfishly motivated, racially motivated, materially motivated, you will never get true guidance. True guidance only comes to those who are sincere at heart, who want justice, whether it be against themselves or against their race or against any dear one or any dear thing to them. This is what Allah tells us in the Quran. This is the key for success. And Hamidullah, this is the khutbah, the standard khutbah, is to show the people Allah as Allah is in the Quran, and to show the people Allah's justice as it is in the Quran, and to show the people Allah's path as it is in the Quran, and to show the people Allah's prophet to all the world as it is in the Quran. This is the object of a khutbah. Mm-hmm. Dear beloved Muslims, let me read something from Hadith of Prophet Muhammad from Bukhari and Muslim. Qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Prophet said, peace and blessings be upon him, يأتي على الناس زمن لا يبالي المرء ما أخذ منه أمن الحلال أم من الحرام. Prophet Muhammad said, peace and blessings be upon him, there is coming a day against the people wherein they will not care. The human being will not care. Al-mar'u means the human being, the person. The person will not care about morals, whether a thing be morally permissible or forbidden. Having America come to this low cultural level where morals doesn't matter anymore, where you do whatever you want to do without any moral fear of any consequences? And weren't we, under the name Nation, Lost Foundation of Islam, weren't we too a people who were tricked, told that we were being morally upright,
at the same time, we applied no moral logic outside of our own race. Our logic was just for our own race. It didn't take into account the justice due other races. And because of that, we inherited a snobbish attitude. Think ourselves above the African people. Think ourselves above the Arabs. Think ourselves above all other races. This community has been made devil. That unnatural morality that was given to us under the leadership of Farad Muhammad and Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Oh, but it did a lot of good for me. And Hitler will say the same thing. Hitler will say, my moral philosophy did a lot of good for me. And the white racist that we find, calling himself a Klansman and believing in Jesus, he will tell us too that my moral thinking did a lot of good for me. And the communists will say the same. My moral thinking has done a lot of good for me. And Cuba will say the same. My moral thinking has done a lot of good for me. We're not talking about in terms of unifying a people. The communist philosophy unifies a people. We're not talking about the philosophy, it's a power and its effect to bring material gain. The Trinitarianism of Christianity can boast that we have brought more material gain than any other faith. We are talking about the moral content, of what the person or the nation profess. And if it's evil, it's evil. Condemn it. And stand up for what is true and just, then Allah will show you the right path. Not before then, only then will Allah show you the right path. Anything but the path of God, as is shown in this Quran, is nothing but a path to destruction. And history bears witness to that. Every corrupt religion is nothing but the ruin of a civilization that once followed the guidance of God. This is what Allah says in this book, the Quran. Go to any lie, go to any false religion, and you will find the ruin left from those who stop following the guidance of God. For those who have their mind in Bible more than in Quran, we can easily show you that. Does Genesis start with idolatry? No. It starts with someone falling from the right path. Then idolatry comes. It starts with the fall of a man and a people called Adam, who fell from the right path. Then comes Cain, the Canaanite, idolatry, ignorance, corruption, and all the other evil. And Allah tells us in the Quran, as he revealed it to Prophet Muhammad, under the history of Moses and his people, that the heathen way, idol worship, false religion, are nothing but relics that stand as a testament to the wrong that nations did in departing from the truth that Allah revealed. That's why it is very easy for the guided man to go to your lies and undo them. He can piece the knots apart and show the world just where you got every lie. Yes. He can piece the knots apart and he can show the world, the common mind, the common person, where you stole your pieces from to make your lie. You can't lie without stealing from God. It's impossible to lie without stealing from Allah, because there's nothing here for you to use. Everything was created by Allah. So if you use anything, you got to go to something that Allah created. And when Allah enlighten us, we can pick your knots apart and show the people where you got every brick to build your false house with. This is the guidance of God. Would you then buy something inferior? No, I don't want nothing inferior. The whole world and all of this knowledge to me is nothing but trash. The only valuable knowledge is this book and that bear witness to it. That's the only valuable knowledge. This Quran and the knowledge that bear witness to this Quran. I don't test the Quran by what's outside of the Quran. I test what's outside by what's inside the Quran. And this is what all Muslims have to learn, understand, obey 100%. There is in us a tendency to drift away from the guidance of Allah, following our own interests. Don't allow that to happen in this community. That Allah has put us on the path of Prophet Muhammad, the path of true guidance. Don't ever allow that to happen again in this community. That individual opinions, personal opinions, personal philosophies from the world, come in and take us away from the guidance of this Quran. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
We can't lie without stealing from God. It's impossible to lie without stealing from Allah. Because there is nothing here for you to use. Everything was created by Allah. So if you use anything, you got to go to something that Allah created. So when Allah enlightened us, we can pick your knots apart and show the people where you got every brick to build your false house with. This is the guidance of God. Would you then buy something inferior? No, I don't want nothing inferior. The whole world and all of this knowledge to me is nothing but trash. The only valuable knowledge is this book and that bear witness to it. That's the only valuable knowledge. This Quran and the knowledge that bear witness to this Quran. I don't test the Quran by what's outside of the Quran. I test what's outside by what's inside the Quran. And this is what all Muslims have to learn, understand, obey 100%. There is in us a tendency to drift away from the guidance of Allah, following our own interests. Don't allow that to happen in this community. That Allah has put us on the path of Prophet Muhammad, the path of true guidance. Don't ever allow that to happen again in this community. That individual opinions, personal philosophies from the world, come in and take us away from the guidance of this Quran. All of us don't have equal understanding in Quran. Some of us have more understanding than others. So how are we to follow? We are to follow on the basis of facts and never go into the unknown, into mystery, unless we're carrying with us the torchlight of the facts of this Quran. So if someone wants to tell us that these ideas are to be interpreted in some way that it is not plainly, expressly told in this Quran, we don't follow them. If they want to suggest an idea to our mind that is not plainly established in this Quran, we do not follow them. Allah tells us in this Quran that the book has been revealed. Some of its verses explicit and some of its verses symbolic are in the form of parables. Those in whose heart is some wrong prefer the parable to the explicit. it is reserved on the explicit, not the parables. We are never to bring the parables into a court. We are always to bring the explicit into the court. And Allah says plainly that He is Allah. He created everything. That He does not sleep, nor slumber, nor eat, nor need anything from anything of His creation. That He never had a son. He never had a woman as a consort or as a sexual mate. He needs nothing from His creation. That everything needs a mate except Him. He exists alone, independent, not resembling anything of His creation. That is the explicit teachings of the Quran. Now don't bring me some parable and say, oh, this means that God is a man. Don't read me something from the Quran and say that this means that God is a man. We are not to listen to your interpretation of parable. That needs explaining. Then what you interpret is aiming against what has been explicitly, plainly given in the Quran. Imam Hamidullah, from now on let there be no reading of Quran in this mosque unless it starts with A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitanir Rajeem and then Al-Fatiha, and it continues uniformly through until An-Nas, and then start again with Al-Fatiha, An-Nas, Al-Fatiha, all the way through to An-Nas. Because some of these people, they will select certain readings, certain passages from the Quran to read to these people to hint, to suggest as the devil, to suggest a thing into the mind of these easy people. And we have been chosen to protect them. Yes, Allah sees and hears everything. Dear beloved Muslims, in a world like we live in, the world of man's working, the world of man's hands, it is very hard, to find our good senses. The world that Allah made knocks on the door of the good senses. It invites the good senses to come out and witness that this universe has an architect, has a designer, has a planner, and has a ruler over all things. That's what the world does to the intellect that Allah created. No one can go out and stay in a beautiful country like Bahamas, away from the workings of man, and remain a pagan in his thinking. No, and he can't remain a racist. That natural, beautiful environment that Allah created, it will feed the humanity of the individual. It will feed the appetite of the individual for universal beauty. He won't be racist. He won't be materialistic. It is the role that man makes with his own hands, the material goods to satisfy the pleasures. That world is what distracts us, takes us into the hard, thorny path of selfishness, materialism, racism, and the other evils. So, dear beloved brothers and sisters, understand that you are in hell. In a materialistic society like this, you are in hell. And the only thing that can bring you out is the mercy of Allah. If He shows us mercy, we will see guidance. We won't come naturally. No, no, no. Because the natural environment is designed to blind us to the worship of Allah. It will only be mercy if we come out of this hell. What I mean by that, your heart will just have to be innocent. innocent. And for Allah to come and love you, and love you, and help you, take you by the hand. Yes. Knowing that this world is designed to take our eyes from the true worship of Allah, then we should never give our hearts to this world. And you can prove this to any man, Christian anybody, scientist anybody, you can prove to them, they admit it with their own tongue, that the materialistic environment of the West, of the so-called modern world, does not offer the mind spiritual guidance, moral guidance. No, no. It is designed to make man selfish, to break up the natural bonds of society, and make this individual give himself to his own personal, private interest. That's the nature of this materialistic society. Those who say they are Muslims and understand what they're saying, they are in the company of those who fight for Allah and for His way. And those who are not that, they are our enemies. There's no need of fooling ourselves, thinking that all the world is right. No, only that part of the world that gives itself to the worship of one true Allah and follow His guidance, that part is right. The other part is wrong, and that part is our enemy that is wrong. Now, enemies come in different degrees. The worst of our enemies is Satan himself. And those who knowingly practice evil against the innocent humanity. But there are other degrees. There are those who ignorantly follow the evil because they have no moral substance. They have no moral conscience. They just want the pleasures of the world, so they go along with Satan and his company. Aren't they our enemies too? Certainly they are enemies. Although they are blind to the scheme of Satan, they too are our enemies. Those that drink liquor are our enemies. Those that eat swine and pork, they are our enemies. Those that gamble are our enemies. Those that believe in racism are our enemies. Those that go out for the dollar and don't care how they get it, they are our enemies. They may not fall in the high category of Satan. They might not be enemies to that degree. But yes, they are our enemies. Why? Because it is their life that is contributing also to our persecution. They persecute us. They oppress us. They make our life hard and miserable because they support Satan and his hope. So they've got to be our enemies. What can you call them if you don't call them enemies? We invite them to the truth. We want them to be Muslims. We want to rob Satan of his camp. We want to take those innocent victims out of his camp. But don't go and fraternize with them. Don't go and marry them until they have shown you that they have moral life and moral conviction. Then marry them. Then take them into your bosom. Let us wake up to beauty and hate ugliness. What is beauty? Beauty is righteousness. There is no beauty to equal righteousness. Beauty is righteousness, and ugliness is wickedness, and there is nothing uglier than wickedness. Nothing uglier than the spirit in a person that has no feeling for anybody but itself. That's the ugliest thing on this earth. And the beautiful thing on this earth is a spirit in a person that has kindness and sympathy or even the stranger, or even the distant person that we never saw or heard of, just knowing that there's some creature around to hurt their heart, oh, that's the most beautiful thing in this world. And that's righteousness. Dear beloved Muslims, the natural world as Allah created it is beautiful. Imagine waking up in the morning in a natural environment, hearing the birds sing. The birds wake you up. Yes, the birds wake you up. They have alarm clocks now that wake you up with music. But their alarm clocks can't equal the singing of the birds. No. The birds wake you up, and then you hear the little children laughing and playing. The little children, they usually get up before adults. They're laughing and playing and running, and that good sound of young, innocent life hits your ears. And you go out and you see the wind blowing the trees there, the wind is standing there so beautifully, as the songwriter said, there's nothing, no picture is more beautiful than the trees. He wasn't talking about the Jacobite trees, although the Jacobite influenced this song. The innocent artist is talking about the natural trees that God made, that that's a beauty, it's a beauty. The smell of the fresh air and all the other beautiful things in Allah's creation reach the mind and begin to quicken the soul of a human being. For human growth. For human growth. They talk about primitive culture. They say, go look in the jungle for the primitive culture. Go look in the jungle for the neglected people. The primitive culture is in the city. The neglected people are in the jungle. The primitive culture is in the city. There are scientists who have studied the pygmy, the bush people, the Maasai tribe, the Cassidy tribe, the Cassidy or Cassidy tribe, one that's recently discovered. And they found among them people, those people, that there's no crime problem. No crime problem. They love each other. They care for each other. Beautiful people. The wilderness is in the city. The primitive people are in the city, in the sense that we understand primitiveness. The neglected people are in the jungle. What I mean by neglected? Those who receive the message of God have not gone into those areas and given the people the message of God. They have not carried the Quran into those areas. We would get much better results if we go to the Tassadai people with the Quran than we would get in these cities called civilized cities. So we would take the Quran to the Tassadai people. We take the Quran to the pygmies. We would get much better results. But man is inclined to go to the rich. Abasa wa tawalla in jahu al-ama. He became disgusted and turned away. And he was approached by the blind man. Why? Because it was the habit of people, and Prophet Muhammad was a victim of this habit, the habit of people to try to impress the big shop first, to go to the big shop first. See? But Prophet Muhammad, when Allah corrected him, he left that as a sign for all of us. And Prophet Muhammad, from that day on, kept that blind man with him. Whenever he preached, that blind man was close by him. He never neglected him again. But Allah used Prophet Muhammad to show us, to show world leadership, his own mystery. And go after the big shop, the so-called intellectuals, the money people, and pass by them. That's the world. My community began with the poor, meaning the common masses. But he said it shall return to the poor, meaning the common masses. This is happening today. This is happening today. Dear beloved brothers and sisters, and we have to have the faith in this mission to carry it to the Mexican. Don't you know some of the most primitive people on this earth are the Hispanic people of South America? Religion instead of culturing them, instead of civilizing them, religion has had the effect of bringing out the deep uncivilized instincts in those people. And now they are ripe for communism. And Christianity and the forces of so-called democracy are working like the dickens to keep communism out of South America, out of the South American continent, because it is right for communism. I pray Allah that one day we'll have Quran translated by people who know the Arabic better than we do, by the scholars and leaders in the great centers of Al-Islam, at Azhar, at Aligarh University in India, at King Faisal University in Saudi Arabia, that we will have a Quran translated from the Arabic into Spanish and have good Muslims from the Spanish-speaking community carry out that project. And then have it tested with someone who speaks all the languages, Spanish, English, and Arabic. Have it tested by those in Arabia and in the center who know the language and know the Quran from A to Z. I'm talking about the language. Do you know the very first time we allow Quran to be printed here? Backfired in our faces. Yellow Jabber was kind enough to use his own personal money to give us the 30th part of the Quran. The first project of this world community of Islam, with the Quran, brought us fame and disgrace. You know why? Because there are people who rather hurt the Quran and to see this community with this respect that it is due. It ain't no accident that Quran had, that Sidney Scott had mistakes like that. It's no accident. They did it intentionally so that they can take the book and say, look what those black Muslims, see, they're still black Muslims. See how they've messed up the Quran, they've done it wrong. And it says on there, done by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad Foundation. They see, they even still honor the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, Honorable Elijah Muhammad Foundation. And look at the mistakes, how they're corrupting the Quran. But Allah is protecting me. You can create any problem you want to create for me. Your problem will never get to me. That is to topple me. Nothing you can invent will topple me. Impossible. Who are you, man? You God or somebody? I'm protected by God. Impossible. Don't waste the time. Impossible. All praises be to Allah.
All right, everybody, listen. The propagators, they have a question to ask. Here it goes.
Who are you?
Who are you?
Some people are secret. Some people are. we are having some minor challenges with Imam Darnell being able to get on this morning. The lines get filled up, and then when he calls, there's no room in the inn. I do need to go ahead and send him the alternative number. So y'all give me a second. And inshallah. Get that to him. Maybe we'll be able to see. Okay. Alhamdulillah, but as it has been, we are going through Imam Darnell's book, The First National Independent Islamic School System in America. Alhamdulillah, very excellent book. And we've gone through 6 chapters. We're on the 7th chapter this morning, and we do have our very special guest online with us right now. Imam Darnell, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam. How is everyone, and how are you? And thank you very much again.
Alhamdulillah, we're all happy now. When you're online, everybody's happy.
Well, I appreciate that. I've been getting some nice calls from a few people telling me about how they enjoy the story, you know. And and I tell them, I say, it's their story. It's our story.
Yeah.
We wrote the book. The book is about, at least we'll try to, I want the people to know that this community that's been all of our lives, this is what we know. It has affected America. We don't realize that we have affected America, even the language that they're now using. It's the language that Imam W.D. Muhammad has been using to correct things. So we have really affected America in many ways that we know of. And Imam Muhammad, once he said, I represent America's conscience. As we have traveled through this community in the 30s, the 40s, the 50s, the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, if I want to say now we're in the 20s, in other words, we would be surprised to know how what has done, I would say, for the upliftment of the conscience of the African-American people through our community, known then as the original nation of Islam. So we should be very proud of our history, what we have been through, and let the people know that everything that we have done, even though it might have been a little Islam that we had, but we were together and we were family. And we survive just on that alone, just on faith and trust in each other. So I thank Allah for that. Yeah, and that also, I keep myself in mind, if you don't mind me saying this, it's on my heart a lot. I think about it a lot in terms of being so blessed with being associated and living with the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and Sister Clara, their family, and also with Elijah Muhammad's mother and father, lived with them also too. And then me and Gloria lived with them in their house. Everyone's her children, starting from Emmanuel Ayman down to Akbar Muhammad, the youngest of Sister Clara, and then, of course, Imam Wahid Din Muhammad, living with them and hanging with them, being with them, and me and the Imam Muhammad, my brother Leroy, and all of us when we were all kids together. You know, we didn't think about ages. And And one time, I used to always think of Leroy and the Imam as my, like my bigger brother, even Jabber. So as we got older, the Imam said, you know, Donnell, he doesn't know about it because he was the young guy, you know, so on. I said, what is he talking about, the young guy? I said, and then when he found out my age, he said, oh, my God. he's only two years older than me. And we've been sitting in the class with each other for 10 years.
Mm.
I said, oh, my God. So, you know, when I think about all of that, I start crying. I started crying because the time was there where I could call them. I could call them now, even though it's my leader, Akbar, but all that, I could call them, and they're not here no more. So physically they're not.
Yeah.
Then I ask myself all the time till this day, Imam Shoaib, I say, why did Allah lead me back here? I know I have to go like everyone else. I don't have them to call now. His first grandson, we hung out together all the time. So my soul is telling me this. My soul is saying, Darnell, you have to tell it, man, because they were so busy with trying to, you know, people join the Nation of Islam and the Imam teaching us teaching his heart out. So that I need to say something now, and I want to speak for them. I want to speak for all the pioneers. I wanted to do that. The pioneers that back then when we were kids and we would eat in their home, the homemade rolls and the bean soup, they didn't have the electric stove, so we sit around a, like we call a fire with wood and coal. And then they would sit there and tell a story and say, we're going to depend on you all now.
Yeah.
A little piece of something that I wanted to say.
Yeah, no, it's so very important. You know, there's a saying that I quote often, and I'll do it now, that life is a series of repetitive events linked by a chain of recurrent relations. And what that basically is, life repeats itself. It repeats itself. And natural life goes in cycles. You know, the day follows the night. The night follows the day. Every season follows upon the other season, et cetera. And so the history that we're talking about and the excellence of it and the power of it and the staying power of it has to do with the very things that you're talking about. You know, trusting the being sincere in faith, you know, staying connected with each other, that kind of, and we do know that that's being deteriorated. Imam is speaking in part of the lecture that we just played. And I know, you know, as an imam of a community and a father of a family, it's like many of those things that we quote unquote took for granted in the sense that we didn't feel the need to think about it, because it was so real and active for us, right? But now those things that we took for granted and didn't quite think about, we see it so lost in this generation. I'm talking about of Muslims, of non-Muslims, inside Muslim families, outside Muslim families. It's like we need to get that back some kind of way. I mean, we truly need to make dua to Allah to help us, show us, and guide us to the way of getting that back for this time.
I hope so. I hope so, brother. Yes. It's needed badly because of brother called me the other day. I didn't know him, but he knew me. And he said, Assalamu alaikum, brother. I don't care how you doing. I didn't want to say I didn't know who it was, but sometimes people say, you know who you're talking to? And then I'll say, oh, yeah, I know who I'm talking to. What's my name? So he say,
next time you say, what, you don't know it?
we keep it going. You know, we keep it going like my father's table time. He say, there was two guys that it's a little bit related to it, but not much. He said, it was two guys didn't know how to tell the time. You know, they wasn't all that good to tell the time. They both had on some beautiful watches. And the other guy walked to him, he said, hey, ma'am, what time is it? And he looked at his watch, he said, yep, it sure is. So we can keep a conversation going until we're going to finally tell each other our names, you know.
Yeah,
hey, how do you say your name, brother? What is it, a capital or an eight? He said, brother, you know my name is Rashid. It's our, it's our eight. And then I got it.
Yeah.
But the point of it is, and what the brother said, my point in saying that the brother called me, and he talked for a few minutes, and he said, I thought he was on a book. He kept talking. He said, Imam Kareem, I just called to see how you're doing.
All right. That's good.
I say, man, well, look.
Let's see how the people on.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No. I want to give an opportunity to people on, for people online to join the conversation before we jump into the book. We're on chapter 7 this morning, which is Imam W.D. Muhammad, the content of his character. And so we're going to read a few pages as we normally do, but we want to do that after you all chime in. If you are reading the book and if you are staying in touch with these conversations or if you're just joining these conversations, come on through, make some comments, give the greetings to our guests. Do not underestimate, brother and sister, how valuable it is for someone to hear from you on this platform and on others. But on this platform, it's very good to hear someone. Assalamu alaikum. May the peace that only Allah can give. You all check in. Give the greetings to the guests. And if you have a comment or a question, go ahead and bring that. And then we're going to move on with some reading from the book and commentary from our very special guest. Who we got here? Sonia?
Sonia? Yes.
Assalamu alaikum.
Imam Donnell, I haven't ordered the book yet, but inshallah, I will. I was married to Talib bin Ahmed. Call him Captain Willard. In the first,
you know, I know that guy because I have I can tell you a story about him because the way he surprised us.
Right.
Yeah. I know exactly who you're talking about. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah. So, you know, just listening to, you know, the excerpts over the last 7 weeks, however many weeks it's been, but anyway. You know, I'm being that he shared, you know, so many different, if you will, experiences. I'm thoroughly enjoying it, and I appreciate that, you know, you've taken the time to produce that because I have been working on, well, actually prior to him passing, he and I had talked about, you know, putting together his life experiences and things like that. So it's encouraging because, you know, I still have intentions and been working on it. So I just want to say, alhamdulillah, thank you so much for your contribution.
Well, it's good hearing your voice. I know you, I'm seeing your picture right now. I know who you are. And may Allah bless you. It's nice hearing your voice and you continue to take care of yourself.
Yes, sir. And you all too.
Alhamdulillah.
Salaam alaikum. Wa alaikum.
Talib, he used to be one of the drivers for Elijah Muhammad. And travel with.
Very special, brother. He had in his lasting of his days, he used to always make sure that he send the ma'am fish. Fish together and send it by someone, and the man will be waiting on that fish. By the time we call him the shake.
So, any others? Any others want to come in and give the greeting to our guests and make a comment, ask a question before we continue. All right. 510-798. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
This is Zarina from Covington,
hey.
Georgia. And alhamdulillah, I just wanted to give my greetings to the Imam. And I truly appreciate all that you've done in writing this book. I went through the Nation of Islam, and I know it saved my life. And so I just want to thank you. Assalamu alaikum.
You're welcome.
She's also an author. What's the name of your book, Zarina?
Your Incredible Mind.
Your Incredible Mind. And give us isn't it part autobiographical or what? Tell me what about it.
It is autobiographical, what you said. yes, and I do mention my transition into the Nation of Islam and what it did for me in terms of helping me to, I know, grow into the person I am today. So I truly appreciate it. Just getting more knowledge and than I had before, it's really a beautiful thing. And I truly appreciate and may Allah reward you for it, because it's beautiful. And we do have the book. Alhamdulillah.
Excellent. Sure.
Well, can't wait to get it. I can't wait to get the book.
Right. Alhamdulillah.
I think she got the book from us at the masjid, right?
I don't know if she got it from the masjid. I think so. Yeah, from Latino.
Yeah, I think you got to be from when I went to relocate with everybody else to Atlanta.
Right.
Give your
husband
the greeting from me, okay?
I will. And he definitely returns it. Right. Okay.
African drum morning.
Mashallah. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks for calling.
Alhamdulillah. I don't know what's going on with my. With my microphone, I think there must be a delay in my talking.
I can hear you loud and clear.
All right, alhamdulillah. Well, we're going to move on. Here's another little factoid about the sister that just called in. She was my first landlord when we were in the nation, when we joined the Nation of Islam, myself and my wife. but she was our first landlord. So we were fresh new fruit living in an apartment that she managed, and we've been together all that time.
Praise God. Isn't that wonderful?
That's a blessing. It's just so rare to have these long-term relationships with people, and the Nation of Islam fosters that. It fosters.
That's right.
The original Nation of Islam, I'll use your language, which I embrace. And it's such a blessing, a contributor. And her family, I think she has Zarina, come on back, since I'm talking about you, just in case I ain't got something straight. See, I haven't even learned how to speak English yet. But in any case, she has a daughter that just returned not long ago. Zarina, tap in and make this point for me, okay? Her daughter just came back from, I don't want to say Dubai. Everybody goes to Dubai and comes back, you know, but mashallah. Go ahead. Fill me in while I'm trying
to
read you.
No, she's studying in Yemen right now.
That's your granddaughter,
yeah,
right?
That's the granddaughter, yes. And my daughter, Nyla, she recently came back from Ghana.
Okay. So
Mila.
Study.
Yeah, my daughter Mila just came back. She just went on Umrah. Hodgepodge. It was Celebrate Mercy. She had got a scholarship, and she was able to go on Umrah.
But you have a granddaughter that was studying Arabic, scholastic studies in Al-Islam. Am I mistaken?
Wow.
Or?
Right. That's Zarina, my namesake. She was studying in Yemen. She came back, and then she went back again. She's there now, completing her studies.
Okay. All right. Alhamdulillah.
Wow. Kind of, isn't that wonderful?
That is. That's generation after generation, right? Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Yes.
That's just
That is
all
good.
Right.
Congratulations. That's wonderful. Shows our community is really growing.
Yes, it is. All righty. Assalamu alaikum. Georgetta.
Just trying to get this straight. That's generation after generation, right?
Oh, yeah.
Alhamdulillah. That's the cycle continues.
Wow. Hold on. Man, that's almost like a doggone minute delay. And it's like Back to the Future. You know, I say something, leave, come back, didn't hear myself talking. So I don't know. Let me reload this page real quick and see if that makes a difference. Because I start talking. Ain't nobody saying they keep talking. I'm saying, why are they still talking? I'm talking. Let's see what's going on. I don't know. It is what it is. Let's move on. Georgetta, let's see what's going on.
It's like Back to the Future. You know, I say something, leave, come back, and then I can hear myself talking. I don't know. Let me just.
That's crazy. All right, Georgetta, her phone dropped. All right, try to call back, Georgetta. Go ahead, Imam Donnell. Any comments you want to make? Until we get Georgetta back.
Yes, I'm doing I'm going to be doing a presentation, as you know, on the Islam, El Islam, a study El Islam.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to be speaking on how our community evolved, the evolution of our community. And what we're at today, in other words. So I'm doing a lot of studies on that, what y'all already know. But as I study and think of each time I get ready to do a presentation like you do, you know, we study and we want to make the best presentation as possible, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But it's always, the point of it being is that it comes down to these cycles of life that Allah has brought us into when we were first born, when we come into the world, and now we are conscious, you know. And we go from one day to the next, to the next, to the next. And people spend so much time trying to make themselves look good. Which is good and healthy. But even going through all that and spending all that time with yourself, we're still leaving here. No matter what you do, you're still leaving this life. So we have to really study why. What is our here? And really believe and to know that Allah promises an existence after this is all over. But we have to realize we got to work for it. We can't just say we believe it and then, I'll wait until then and I can do that. No, everything today is very important for tomorrow. That's why when you read the Arabic, read it in the Quran, or studying the language of the Quran and studying the Arabic itself, Quranic Arabic, you find that one word, the future.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the present tense takes care of both. the present represents the past, president represents the past, and the president can represent the future. So there's a message in that for us, as we might say, it's a message in that. So I'm studying that very carefully. The next part of it I want to say is here in reference to the book and our history and all like that. We have to have a purpose with our lives. I found it interesting, Imam Chouaib, when I was talking about the original man, the original. We are the original nation of Islam, the original. That word just pops there all the time. And I say that Imam was talking about that in other words, in many ways. And he says that when you go to, you have a company, and they have a Xerox machine. And the Xerox, if you call it Xerox or whatever you want to call it, you have the original, right?
You have the original.
Mm-hmm. You make a copy, and that's what you pass out to the public. But you never get the original.
Right.
So what's happening, the moral in that, as you see, is that when you see people today, you don't see the original. You don't see the real. You see a copy. And society is making us copies. That's what we are. We're copies. So the original of Islam, as you know, its purpose is to help us to realize the real of us, come into our true identity. That was the whole purpose of it. So
the word is, the key word is that was the purpose of it. That purpose has been fulfilled. It has been fulfilled. And now what's to be replicated naturally is what came after that. And that's Imam W.D. Muhammad. We're going to give me some last comments from you right quick, and then we're going to get to some reading of this chapter 7. Imam W.D.
Well, let's say this here. Imam was talking, I still stay with that. I'm speaking of the Imam W.D. Muhammad and his thinking. And he said, your thoughts is not your thoughts.
Right. Allah.
You have kept other thoughts in society. So what the Imam, what does that mean? Imam is a child. He has always been Imam W.D. Muhammad himself, and that his character and his thoughts and everything was never of the world.
So, alhamdulillah, on screen here we're showing the picture that's on the face of that chapter, Imam W.D. Muhammad. I'm going to read his quote in just a minute. This chapter 7, Imam W.D. Muhammad, the content of his character. I'm going to... momentarily, Ma'am Darnell, I'm going to go ahead and mute you, and then I'm going to do a reading, and I'm going to come back. So here's the quote that's on the picture of the book. It says, give me a nice future. Yes, give me the future you know I want, because I won't be living after I die on this earth. I won't be living anywhere except in you. And the time of his life, 1933 to 2008. He said, I have a dream that, this is a quote from Martin Luther King here. I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. This is quoting from Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s famous Washington, D.C. speech, August 28th. 1963. Now reading or continuing. Given the name Wallace D. Muhammad at birth, Imam W.D. Muhammad was born on October 30th, 1933, to the builder and leader of the original Nation of Islam, the late Honorable Elijah Poole Muhammad and the late Clara Evans Muhammad. The seventh of eight children, He was born in Hamtramck, Michigan, shortly before his family moved to Chicago. And here's a picture of that. The pictures alone are worth the quote-unquote price of the book. This is the home. And, you know, you can use your imagination seeing the children of the Poole family coming in and out of this home, you know, playing in the yard, playing on the porch. That's really, really something. Okay, so this is a house on Yemen Street. Huh? We just talked about a young girl that's studying in Yemen, right? That's part of the fruit of this community. So a lot of rich stuff in that whole connection, but Imam Donnell can bring that back to us. Also, Imam Donnell, when we do come back, I want to get some feedback from you about when Akbar went to go study abroad, what was the mood, the state, the spirit, the attitude, the feelings among the children, students, family. We want to hear that from you, Akbar's designation in going there. So hope you have a lot to say about that. Continue to read from the book. It says, I believe that things in life happen for a reason and not by chance. They happen by the working of God. Ike, the neighborhood where W.D. Muhammad was born in 1933 in Hamtramck, Michigan, on Yemen Street. In Arabic, the word Yemen means on the right, and it is connected in the Quran with the story of the Lady Sheba, who was queen of a great civilization in history. Those interested in symbolic language may ask, why did Farad choose this area to start the community, the original nation of Islam? Quoting Imam Muhammad in the book, says, Mr. Farad prayed, and Mr. Farad prayed and hoped that I, Imam, that is W.D. Muhammad speaking, would become the one to assist my father and help my father to do the work. At that time, I was just in my mother's womb, and he left right after I was born. In the early part of 1933, I was still in my mother, and on October 30th, 1933, I was delivered. This was a time of great turmoil in the Muhammad family. Master Farad left shortly after creating this expectation of the as yet unborn Wallace. His father and mother had to pack up their belongings and carry their six other children out of Detroit while tending to the needs of a newborn baby. Quoting the Imam, says, my mother said she brought me from Detroit to Chicago in her arms when I was 11 months old. And this is from the Imam Tulsa, Oklahoma, Return to Innocence speech. I'm going to read one more page. His father then disappeared from his life for several years. In addition to her work for the community, it fell to Sister Clara to keep her family together and to educate them at home. In the same speech, Imam Muhammad continues, actually, I began my life in an environment of fear. My father had a very different teaching, and it even caused some of his own followers to get a little crazy in the head. We were afraid they would try to break into the house and try to kill my father. I was told those stories of how he was pursued by enemies when I was just a little boy, 7 or 8 years old. I have known real fear. I have no doubt that the whole family was afraid. It is possible that many members of the Chicago community were afraid, but they did not let fear overwhelm their faith and declare as the linchpin. They carried on with their efforts to build their community in the face of opposition from former members, the Department of Education, the Chicago Police, and the FBI. Their courage left us free to be children, and we played in the streets, explored the neighborhood, ran in and out of each other's houses, and found friends and amusement to keep ourselves busy as adults labored on. there were a lot of things that other children did that Imam Muhammad, we used to call him Wallace, didn't do. Sometimes we children would go out and pick up rocks and throw it at trains as it passed by, or a car would come by and we would throw something at it and then run. We did all those things. Wallace didn't. Even as a child, he didn't loaf in prayer. He didn't slap the faces of old drunken men lying on the sidewalk. He didn't ring people's doorbell and then run away laughing. I mean, that just wasn't the type of person he was. I'm not saying he was divine, but there were some things that Wallace just didn't do. We other children did other things. We thought they were funny. But when we did them, we didn't want him to know what we did because we respected his thoughts and we respected how he felt. And then when he came and found out about it, he would say, you know, if I was you, I wouldn't do that. Because he was my friend, I could accept a lot of things he would say. He had a powerful effect on me. He was like my protection, like my big brother. And when we would go out somewhere, he was really a protection for me because if there was something that I might do on my own that wasn't good, if I was with him, I didn't do it. If I wanted to do something I knew it was wrong, no matter what it might be, I didn't do it around him. I had respect for him, and I just didn't do it. His influence was so strong until it got to the point that we would be doing something silly, and if we saw Wallace was coming around, we would stop what we were doing because we didn't want Wallace to see us doing it. He was like a check for us. And the things that we would be doing, we would say, don't let Wallace know that we did that. Don't even let Wallace know that I said that. So Wallace was someone to look up to, and Wallace was someone you didn't signify on and talk about. It was just there in us. We didn't know why. But as I think about it now, we did grow up with expectation, even as children, that Wallace was going to help his father in his mission. The expectation was left by W.D. Farrar before the Imam was born and remained alive in the talk among the elder people that Wallace was going to succeed his father and help his father's mission. But it was more than that. Man, this I'm almost ready to kiss the book, but I can't do it, brother. But this is powerful stuff. Let me bring you back, and you take it wherever you want to take it. Assalamu alaikum.
I'm almost about to cry.
Yeah, me too, man.
Listen at that, I'll say, there's a lot to that. I hope that the community, whoever's listening to this, I hope you appreciate it. This because I'm the only one alive today in this era that can tell you that story. And Gloria, she can say something herself too. But other than that, who's alive today that can tell what you just said? People would just say they know the Imam by coming up on the stage and giving these gigantic speeches that have really uplifted all of us, and we've learned much from it. But you have to know that person who's up there on that stage talking. That's very important. And to know that he didn't, it wasn't a person that, you know, that all, you know, people say, I've seen the light. You know, today they one thing, and tomorrow they got a vision last night. Now they who they are. Now they're the big sheikh or imam or something. No, it didn't happen like that. This was over a period of time. That was just his life. But we have to know who we're following. We have to know who we're following. And that the imam was honest. The man, you're following a good man. That's all I can tell you. You're following a good man, and a man who he never looked forward to one of be in the limelight, so to speak. We were there coming from a social one day, because we call them social, so we didn't have a dancers, you know, they didn't have, we had to slip to at these dances and parties, but the most of them we went to is DuSalvo and Phillip High School, we're here, famous in Chicago. And when you go there, they had a, they didn't play the records. They played a live band. Some of the, we were listening to some of the old doo-wops. But most of the music that we danced on was live music. But you had to have on a shirt and tie, like coming there with almost with a suit on. Otherwise, you couldn't come to the party. So anyway, my point in saying that with him, we leave there from the party, and right away, he would take his towel. I said, man, what are you doing? We just left the party, man. We want to look good, man. Might some girls come out, want to meet them, and all, you know, just being teenagers then. And he said, you know what? There's one thing about me, Darnell. I never want to be tied to anything. I took that as a joke then, but when I look at it today, that's the way he is. He never was influenced and tied to anything that would hold him down. So just making that one statement like that, people might say, "Oh man, do you know, yes, it is." Max, his name is Max. He's an alto player, and he wanted to record his jazz music, you know. And so he called me to recite before he started. And I think I said it in the book, but anyway, the point being is this. Now, we're teenagers. I want people to see the mindset of the imam. Through all that other teaching that you hear, the rhetoric you hear about the white man being this and all like that and what America's done, in the midst of all of that, this was his thinking. I did it. And so Elijah came to me. He said, you know, man, he said, Wallace heard Max Roach play, and he said, you recited the Quran before he played that jazz music. And he said, man, he said, you shouldn't have did that. I said, why? What's wrong? He said, you never mix the Quran with music. I felt bad about that. I said, now, I could have said, who is Wallace telling me what to do? I do what I want to do. But I was affected in him, but still it was a message in him. He said, never mix the Quran with music. So, you know, those type of things, Imam, I think about a lot with the Imam in terms of that. Now, the other part with Akbar, I think I might have mentioned it. Did I mention about the that we had?
No, go ahead. Yeah, there was a question. Let me stop you. Let me stop for a second. There's a question, Imam Eric out of Philadelphia. He's asking a question about Imam Jamil. Was there an Arabic teacher before Imam Jamil? Professor.
Yes,
Professor Jamil.
Yeah, his name was Ibrahim. He was from Jordan. He wasn't effective because he couldn't take the W.D. Barrage teaching. he didn't understand us, so he stayed with us for about a month, and he had us singing the alphabet. so we got rid of him fast. But what it was about him, the verse is missing about him. He gave us a message with his Arabic.
Mm-hmm.
The first four letters, King, the Fig, and the other was called, I think it was the Fig, the Olive, and the Walnut, and the last one was a banana. And when he gave it to us, a King, let's see, King, Jaws, Maws, Law, something like that, was went in that order. But it started with the teen and ended with the banana. So the man was telling a story. He said, you know what, Ibrahim was teaching us like that? He was trying to give us a message. He said, we start off with teen because teen has seeds in it. It's mixed up. He said, he's talking about our brain. How mixed up we are. And then we were trying to grow from the walnut to a coconut into these different seeds. And he's saying it was just too much. And so everything is in his mind, it all went bananas. That was our first word. That was our first words in learning Arabic from him. And then Jamil J.F. came. Uh-huh. Everything was bananas after that. So, but you know what? One day we'll talk about the word banana. It's a very significant word in the Quran on banana. Anyway, so Jamil came, and the bottom line is, Jamil came and he taught us, as I said before, how to think in Arabic, and that was the key. Jamil was not bothered by Farad's mystic teaching. He saw an opportunity with us, and he accomplished his mission too. And so out of that class, he saw certain students that was excel more than others. My wife was, of course, in that class, and my sister Zahira, Leo, all of us, and some, a few of us, Zahira, Wallace, all, the second, not second, but H, we call him H. They all were good. But he said the whole class, three developments came about. Akbar, who became Dr. Akbar, because he made the Ummah with his father when they went there and they found out how good he was in speaking Arabic. So he won a scholarship to go to Azhar University, Akbar, because he was just excellent in learning how to speak. And he says that that's a sign from God. It's also a sign from God. He said that in you, Darnell, he said Allah has given you the Quran, that you were able to master, the reciting of the Quran. So Allah gave the Quran to you, and he said, then, and then with me, he blessed me with scriptural interpretation of the Bible and the Quran. He said, so the Quranic Arabic that we learned from Jamil aided us in that. So now, what does that mean? In the future, when we're not here no longer, if someone wants to know how to speak Arabic, Akbar is an example. If you want to learn how to recite the Quran, Daniel Kareem is an example. Don't be him, but be better than him. But I just say to let you know you can do it, and you don't have to go to Egypt or Saudi Arabia to learn how to recite Quran. And if you want to understand this religion, the language of the Quran, and et cetera, et cetera, the Imam says, Allah has chose me for that. So we represent what anybody, if they have, can I do this? Can I do this? Yes, because God did it with us. And without the help of the Middle East, we did it on our own with the help of God. And that also happened because he said, my father had the vision in 1947. He had the vision that he wanted his community to learn Quranic Arabic so they can learn the language of the Quran and learn the language of our religion. That's from that place. And
me. So let me ask you this. I read a paper of someone that I would call him probably apologist. I don't have to be right because I'm not truly in academic circles. But is Imam Muhammad a mujtahid? Supposedly that's what they were responding to. But I noted one thing in the article where they were saying that Imam Jamil Al-Amin, may Allah bless him, protect him, God, and free him, mashallah.
Yeah.
All the rest of that. But I'm talking about Imam Jamil Diab, right? Jamil Diab, they said his teacher. They actually, in the paper, when you read it, it reads as though, and his teacher. So meaning that Imam W.D. Muhammad's scholarship is justified because he had a quote-unquote qualified teacher in Professor Jamil Diab that taught him. What do you say to that?
No, well, Jamil Diab was an aide. That's all. It's like Imam Vernon Farid said one time, he said, everyone can recite, but everyone is not a reciter. And to become a true reciter is a gift from God. So, yes, Jamil Diab did not teach the imam what he knows.
Right.
He was an aide in helping him. And he told the imam in his lasting days, he said this, and I quote on Jamil Diab, told the imam, he said, sometimes the teacher becomes the student. And he was he told the imam just that. After he heard him, he said, sometimes the teacher becomes the student. And that's you, Wallace. That's you, Wallace. So, yes, he was an aide. You know, when you're trying to, Allah, as you know, as the imam put it many times, Allah speaks to us through people.
He speaks to us.
So he was an aide.
Yeah.
He was an aide.
And I would add that, having said that, there's a rule that says nothing can rise higher than its source. So if Jamil Diab, rahimahullah alayh, to the imam that sometimes the teacher becomes the student, then that means that Imam Muhammad rose higher than him in his own estimation, so therefore he couldn't be the source of what Imam Muhammad knows.
Exactly. You know, can I say this to myself? I don't
right
want to me. I have to say it because it's on my mind to ask the question. The imam told, he told the audience this, and tell me, he said, when we were kids in the classroom, he said, Jamil saw that Darnell had a natural voice for recitation.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in saying that, that means that Jamil didn't teach me how to recite.
Right.
He was an aide for me. I met his father. His father, his name is Sheikh Shaker Diab. He was one of the most famous sheikhs in Jerusalem at that time, Sheikh Shaker Diab. He came to visit us. He didn't speak no English. And he met with the Honorable Elijah Muhammad at his house. And they both made set that together in Elijah Muhammad's house, Sheikh Shaker Diab.
I was riding in the
car with him, and he was showing him the scenery of Chicago. And he told, Real told me to recite what Duha, just recite for my father. Allah is my witness. When I recited it, I made no mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the point. I didn't know nothing about Quranic rules, start, stop, keep going, up and down, whatever. I know none of those rules. Allah is my witness. The only thing I knew how to pronounce a word correctly. But in terms of recitation rules, Jamil did not teach me that. Jamil told the audience, the people say that he had a natural voice for it. So you see the point that I'm making that I thought that was interesting too, but I didn't know about no Quranic rules and how to recite.
Right.
It was just, I just loved hearing it. I knew Arabic, so there it is. A lot took over from there.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's so powerful. I mean, this is a part of the, I'm going to use this word, but, you know, not marry it, but this is the miracle that we are. This is the miracle that we are, right? So, here's another example. Muhammad Ali, right? So, did Angelo Dundee teach Muhammad Ali how to fight?
No. That's right.
No. But, you know what I'm saying? So, it's like Muhammad Ali.
That's a good example.
Ali. You know what I'm saying? So, it's like, that's so. So, I'm emphasizing this. Don't let people rob us of our rightful inheritance of merit, value, dignity, honor, status. That belongs to us. And don't be ashamed of claiming
it. You said it all.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Man, come on.
You said it all. So, yes, sir. This is so beautiful. Do you know when my son gave the title to this book? But he said, no. He said, no, Dad. He said, his name's Naeem. He said, you got to remember, whatever you write in that book, it's the first time in history. Nobody can claim what you're saying.
Hello,
he said, the first national independent Islamic school system in America. That belongs to us. It don't belong to Donnell Green. It belongs to all of us. You can go around the world. You can go to Paris, Saudi Arabia, anywhere. And you can use that name. And it belongs to us. We own that. Nobody can claim that. The first independent Islamic school system in America, that belongs to us, not to me. It belongs to all of us. So be proud to be able to say that.
Let's tell people where they can get the book. We're in the last 3 minutes right now, but let me run through this for you. In order to purchase the Imam's book, send a cashier's check or money order to P.O. Box 1225, Homewood, Illinois, 60430, or you can Zelle the $70 to 708-261-4091. That's Zelle $70 to 708-261-4091. 4091. Imam, we're down to the last 2.5 minutes. Whatever you want to say, wherever you want to go with it, it's up to you.
First of all, I just want to let the people know, I know my wife to tell me, she say, you don't have no time for that. I let them big people call me anytime. You know, we got a voicemail. You can always call. But they can call me anytime, whatever. The case they can do that, and also to remind the people to never ever let anyone downgrade your heritage. Be proud, be proud of it. And I pray to Allah that you practice learning to support each other. You know.
Yeah.
So if you get, please get the book. I'm not interested in trying to how much money I can make. I want to make some money so I can print some more books. And if I print enough, maybe I'll be able one day for me to give it out. You know, sure. But right now, I have. But also the school, Claire Muhammad Schools. I hope that in the last seriousness, I hope that the schools get the book. Don't let just the principal shouldn't just get it or the imam. They should get it so and let it be exposed to the students too, inshallah. And let's make them do our for each other. Yes.
Absolutely. And I'm seeing also these are perfect gifts for major areas of achievement, right? So you have somebody graduating college, you have, especially if they're Muslims. You know, I'm saying especially if they are the generation of which they are a continuation of you and your generation, it doesn't matter. They have, perhaps they've gone all the way through college and never went to a Jewish, but if their DNA, if they are in your bloodline, they should get that book, all right? This book is very, very important, because sometimes it takes years for sometimes a person in their growing up to turn around and look back at where they came from and who they came from and embrace it and recognize how deeply indebted they are for who they are to where they came from. And if that book is there, if this book is there at that moment, It you don't know. It could be revelatory to them in such a profound way. And those of you who have part of it, you feel that experience if you take the time to read it. Imam, this is going to be it for us today. And always a pleasure. Go right ahead.
Can I make the point real quick? I know you have to go. The last point, I want to talk about it on the next program, the Hafiz program of Imam W. Muhammad. You come into Ramadan. The juzuz that the Imam and I and Imam Burnfree recorded for the community.
Okay.
And what we did, we stopped on the 9th chapter of the Quran, which is very significant for the future of our community. The 9th chapter of the Quran.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
program, which is available to us on, we have it now available on USB cord. All 12
just Okay, I'll be sure to get those details from you and create a banner for people to also be able to get that. Let me show this. We're turning the chapter to chapter 8, which is the pioneers, the shoulders we stand on. But I have to show this beautiful picture, Imam Daniel, of that 57 Chevy that's in there, right? So
yes.
So I'm not in the page, but was this a, you said yourself and Imam, y'all would go around the city in this car or what?
Tell me the car.
Yeah, 1953 Chevy.
Oh yes, sir. That's a history. That's 53 Chevy. That should be that's a car. We got to talk about that. That could be a movie.
it's a beautiful car. A man was flexing. Wallace was flexing. He was riding around in that, man. 1953.
Oh yes.
That's nice. All right, next week, alhamdulillah, Allah's peace be on all. Everybody have a wonderful day. Thank you for being with us. Buy the book and advance yourself, okay? As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
As-salamu alaykum.